بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. So today we continue with the discussion on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, namely part 33 out of 37 parts, whereby we speak about the Battle of Tabuk. But before that, just to recap in terms of what we have previously spoken about in the previous session, so we spoke about how the tribe of Hawazin, the Banu Hawazin, decided to attack the Muslims, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to know of their intentions and he wanted to meet them. The Muslim army numbering 12,000 was attacked by 20,000 strong whilst they were going through the valley of Hunain, and we discussed how the Muslims initially were dispersing in different directions, and then they regrouped and they caused the enemy to flee. And then Malik ibn Auf, the leader of the Hawazin, he fled to Ta'if and he sought refuge in one of the forts, one of the castles there in Ta'if. And then we also discussed how another part of the army fled to a place called Autas, and we spoke about how a group was sent there and they were victorious. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then moved to Ta'if and turned his attention to Ta'if, and the Muslim army were unable to break the siege. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people of Ta'if that he brings them to him as Muslims. And the bounty from this was, the bounty from this battle, the battles that took place, was 6,000 captives, 24,000 camels, 40,000 goats, and 4,000 awqiyah, which is a measurement of silver. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after 10 days of waiting for the Hawazin, he shared out the spoils of war. And the delegation from the Hawazin, they then arrived and they embraced Islam, and they asked for their captives and the wealth to be returned to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already distributed it, so he asked them to make a choice between the wealth or the captives, which one should be returned, and they chose the captives. So all of the 6,000, they were all freed and they were returned. Today, inshallah, after the conquest of Makkah, Fatih Makkah, Islam had now spread far and wide throughout the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, which we see here today on the map. And in order to teach the people of about Islam and to establish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his companions to different places as governors. So many of the Sahaba, they made sacrifices to go to these places to teach the individuals about Islam, to teach the individuals about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Yemen, a person by the name of Badhan Ibn Sasan, he was the one who was the governor. He was initially the governor on behalf of Kisra. And then Kisra, he died. So Badhan then embraced Islam. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept him as the governor. And then when he passed away, then his son Shahr bin Badhan, he became the governor of Sana'a in Yemen. And then there was a place called Zabid, where Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala was sent. In Najran, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb was sent. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was made the Qadi of Yemen, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal was made the governor of a place called Jand. In Makkah Mukarrama, Itab ibn Usayd radiallahu ta'ala was made the governor. And in Taima, which is a further north, Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan was radiallahu ta'ala was made the governor at that time. So we can see how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the need now, there was a need for the Muslims who had just accepted Islam to be taught about Islam, to make sure that they understood the laws of Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed different sahaba to different areas to take on this task and to take this responsibility. Then in the month of Muharram, 9th Hijrah, and so 9 years after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent Amilin. Amilin are those individuals who were to collect the sadaqah and the zakat from the various tribes around Arabia. And they were sent to many places, including Bahrain and Najran and various other places. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Bishr ibn Sufyan, al-Adawi radiallahu anhu, to also go and collect the zakat. He was one of the collectors. And at that time, the Banu Tamim, who are a tribe, they refused. So they took an oath that not even a single camel will be given. And then they drew out their swords and they got ready to fight. Okay, so with Bishr ibn Sufyan al-Adawi. So Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw this and he returned to Medina Munawwara. So when he returned to Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sent Uyayna ibn Hasan to at the head of 50 horsemen to a place, Maqam Saqiyah, where the Banu Tamim used to live, right? And this was around 70 miles from Juhfa, another place. And we can see on the map here how the expedition traveled in a northeasterly direction towards the Banu Tamim where they lived, right? So from Medina Munawara in a northeasterly direction, not so far away, but within the Arabian Peninsula. So the Muslim army arrived at night and they took the Banu Tamim by surprise. 11 men, 21 women and 30 children were taken captive and they were brought to Medina Munawara. Strategically, so that the Banu Tamim now had no choice but to send a delegation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had to send someone to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and engage in some kind of conversation. And initially they had refused to give the zakat, which was a crime, and they had refused to accept Bishr ibn Sufyan and Adawi's plea to basically give them the zakat and the sadaqah. So the delegation then of 10 people arrived to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they called out to him loudly and they asked to compete in poetry. Now the Banu Tamim were very well versed in poetry. This was their forte, it was their skill that they had. And they asked, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that he was neither a poet nor has he been given the command to boast and compete in poetry. Right? So we know that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a poet. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. His words were not poetry, and the Quran is not poetry. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made that clear. And then there was some revelation that was revealed at that time, Surah Al-Hujurat, namely, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That as for those who call you from behind the chambers, most of them have no sense. Had they been patient until you came out to them, it would have been much better for them, and Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. The context being that the Banu Tamim, when they came, then they started to call out, Ya Muhammad, loudly. And this isn't befitting that a person raises his voice before this verse, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawtin nabi. That don't raise your voice by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So here we understand another point in terms of adab and respect. That a person is truly understood by his character in terms of how he carries himself in the masjid, how he carries himself outside. This will dictate in terms of how knowledgeable a person is. And not only that, how much a person has in terms of etiquette, that will dictate in terms of how well-versed he is in his religion. Right? Because etiquette is also a huge part of the religion, right? A huge part of our deen in terms of how we deal with our elders, how we deal with our youngsters, how we talk to people, how we walk, how we eat, all of these are etiquettes that have been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after a while, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his resting place, his dwelling, and he performed Zuhr Salah. He finished reading it, then he sat down in the courtyard of the masjid. The delegation requested that the poet be allowed to say a few things. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted him permission. So at that time there was a person by the name of Atarid ibn Hajib. So he stood up and he started to say some poetry about his tribe. He started to praise his tribe. He started to say some good words about his tribe. And then he concluded with a challenge that if anyone can say poetry which is equal to his or even better, then they should. And then he finished and he sat down. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that point told Thabit bin Qais to reply, who was an Ansari Sahabi. He stood up right away and delivered an excellent speech. And he said poetry as well, praising Allah, praising the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then there was another person called Zabarqan ibn Bard. So he stood up and he started to say some poetry from the Banu Tamim, right? Praising their tribe and so forth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala to reply. We knew that Thabit ibn Qais as well as Hassan ibn Thabit, both of them were well-versed poets, right? And they said words of praise for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as such. And then Aqra bin Habis, he took an oath and said that, who was from the Banu Tamim, he said that he took an oath and said, your spokesperson, your poets, they're better than our spokesperson and our poets. And ultimately the subject matter was such that one is praising their tribe and their clan and all of these things, and the other is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So of course, and then all the members within the delegation from the Banu Tamim, they embraced Islam. They became Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then rewarded them, and all the captives that had been taken were freed. And then there was the Banu al-Mustaliq. So Walid ibn Uqba, he was sent to the Banu al-Mustaliq to collect the sadaqah. When the Banu al-Mustaliq heard of his coming, they went out to meet him. Now previously, between Walid and the Banu al-Mustaliq, there was some kind of history. There was some enmity between the family of Walid and Banu al-Mustaliq. So when they came out to welcome him, he misunderstood. and he thought that they came out to fight him, right? So he turned back and went back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that these people had turned away from Islam and they refused to pay zakat, all on an insinuation and a misunderstanding, a misjudgment as such, because of the previous history. And again, here as well, many a time we have in our minds about somebody a certain narrative or a certain understanding, which then dictates our opinions about them. And it leads to problems and leads to issues. So a person should always have an open mind, open heart. You never know when a person changes. You never know when a person asks for forgiveness. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this. He was surprised. He was in this sort of deliberation when the news reached Banu al-Mustaliq that this is what's happened. Walid has returned. So they straight away sent a delegation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inform him that this was a misunderstanding and there was nothing of the sort that was happening. Upon this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse of Surah Al-Hujurat, that, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you have believed, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in, fatabayyanu an tusibu qawman bijahalatin, fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. That when a sinful person brings you a report, verify that it's correct, and test lest you should harm a people out of ignorance, right? And then you become remorseful of what you did. And again, this in the time of WhatsApp and stuff like that as well, where we hear news and where we hear posts, we should always verify the information before we pass it on, because it can be detrimental and it can cause harm, as per the teachings of the Quran. Then in the ninth year of Hijri, in the month of Safar, Abdullah ibn Awsaj radiallahu anhu was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a letter to the Banu Amr ibn Harith, inviting them towards Islam. The Banu Amr ibn Harith refused to embrace, bearing in mind that this was a time now where the Quraysh were obsolete, they didn't have really any power. So the Muslims and Rasulullah ﷺ could further the message, right? And then Qutbah ibn Amir radiallahu anhu was sent at the head of 20 people to encounter the Banu Khasham. They returned victorious, and some camels and goats and captives, that's what they had. And after one fifth was taken out from the bounty, each person was given four camels. Four camels and goats were also taken. So one camel was made to be equivalent of about 10 goats. Right? So this was what was given, and this is how it was distributed fairly. And then in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, Dhahhak ibn Sufyan al-Kilabi radiyallahu anhu, he was sent to the Banu Kilab, inviting them to Islam. The invitation was refused in a very rude manner. An encounter eventually took place, and the Banu Kilab lost the battle, and the Dhahhak ibn Sufyan returned victorious back to Medina with the spoils of war. And then we have the Sariya of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to Tay in the month of Rabiul Akhir. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was sent with 150 or 200 men towards the tribe of Tay, and the tribe had an idol called Fulas, and the expedition was there to remove this idol, right? And the Muslim army arrived there, managed to capture some people, some shepherds. They completed their task, brought back two swords from the temple where the idol lay, and which had been hung by Harith ibn Shaml. Among the captives was Safana. Safana was the daughter of Hatim Tai. Hatim Tai is that famous individual within the fables. There's many stories about him where he was very, very generous man. And Adi ibn Hatim, the son of Hatim, he ran away to Sham. And when the captives were brought back to Medina Munawara, and they were sat down in a place near Masjid al-Nabawi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi went past the captives, and Safana saw Safana. Safana said to him that, "My father Hatim has passed away, and the person who is supposed to look after me has run away." And who was this person? Obviously his brother Adi ibn Hatim. So she said that, "Do me a favor and Allah will favor you." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi asked her that, "Who was the person who was responsible?" She said that, "Adi ibn Hatim." And then Rasulullah sallallahu replied that, "The one who ran away from Allah and his messenger." So Rasulullah ﷺ agreed to do her a favor, but asked her to wait so he could send her back with a capable person. To where? To Sham, right? Where her brother was. So after two or three days, some people from the tribe of Tay who were going to Sham, they were found. And Safana was sent back with extreme respect and also with some gifts. And again, this was calculated. This was something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did within his obviously expertise and so forth, right? And then he gave her some set of clothes as well and an animal to ride on as well as a gift. So Safana embraced Islam and said some words to thank Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these good qualities that a person has and inculcates within himself and gives a good message of Islam can lead to individuals embracing the fold of Islam, right? Embracing Islam, all because of the fact that this is what we are taught, that if we have good character, we display that character, ultimately someone somewhere will see this character and they'll see that this is someone coming from a Muslim. And ultimately this will then lead to them potentially us being the sabab and the cause of them becoming Muslim. So she arrived in Sham, she met her brother Adi and told her about what happened, and he asked her what her opinion was. So she said that, "I swear by Allah, I think that you should go and meet him as soon as possible. If he is a prophet, to run towards him and be ahead will be a matter of blessing. If he is a king, then he is ever respectful. So it was a win-win situation for you." So after some time, Adi arrived in Medina Munawwara and he embraced Islam as well. So after this, in the 9th year of Hijri, the battle expedition of Tabuk took place. And Tabuk was, in one narration, that Imran ibn Hussein narrates that the Nasara of the Arabs, they wrote a letter to the Hirakal, the Christians of the Arabs, the Arab Christians basically, they wrote a letter to Hirakal, Hirakal being the leader of Rome, informing him that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, na'udhu billah, passed away, and the people are dying of famine and starvation. And that this is an excellent opportunity to attack the Arabs. So upon receiving the news, Hirakal immediately gave the command to prepare an army of 40,000, and they were dispatched, ready to attack. So some of the traders who used to come from Sham to Medina to sell olive oil, they took this news and they informed the Muslims that Hirakal was preparing an army to confront them, and you know, the front of the army had already reached a place called Balqa, and the whole army is ready and they've been given the wages for the whole year to push them forward. And Rasulullah heard about this news and he gave an immediate command to get ready to travel so they could confront them on the edge of their territory. And this place was known as Tabuk. Now where is Tabuk? If you look on the map here, Tabuk is, so if you see Medina Munawwara is there marked in red, to the north of Medina Munawwara is a place called Tabuk, right? The days were very hot, it was summer, there was a lack of food and provisions. The Munafiqun, they got worried. They thought that, you know, they're going to be finally exposed. So they didn't want to go themselves, and they wanted to they wanted to encourage others as well not to go. So what did they do? They said that, لا تنفروا في الحر. Don't go out in the heat. It's, you know, it's too hot. Don't go. It's you know, you're going to get ill and so forth and so forth. But the Munafiqun, mainly their whole reason was that they didn't want to go themselves. So they tried to create the propaganda as such. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, وقالوا, and they say that, لا تنفروا في الحر. Don't go out in the heat. قل نار جهنم أشد حرا. Say that the fire of Jahannam is more severe in heat. لو كانوا يفقهون, if only they understood. فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا, let them laugh a little. وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا, let them cry a lot. This being the recompense for those, for what they have earned. Right? So this was the Munafiqun and their way of doing things in terms of trying to disencourage the Muslims or discourage the Muslims. So the Muslims started to prepare. This was the time where Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala gave 4,000 dirhams, all of his wealth. Right? And Rasulullah asked him that, have you left anything behind for your family and household? So Rasulullah Abu Bakr replied that only Allah and his messenger. Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave half of his wealth, mentioned in Fazail Amal as well. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf gave 200 awqiyah of silver. Asim ibn Adi, he gave 70 awsaq of dates. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala presented 300 camels, fully provisioned, 1,000 dinars to Rasulullah, which was equivalent to 10,000 dirhams. Right? Then this made Rasulullah obviously extremely happy. So this was the sacrifice of the Sahaba. The companions, they gave as much as they could according to their means, but it was still not enough to, you know, for the army and for the provision of the army. And then some companions came to Rasulullah and said that they were completely helpless. If they could get an animal to ride on, then they would not be deprived of the blessing. So Rasulullah said that he had no animals. They wanted to go and fight. They wanted to go in the battle as well, but they couldn't because they didn't have any provisions. So upon hearing this, the companions, they returned crying. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the following revelation about this incident. وَلَعَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. That nor is there any blame on those that they came to you and they said to you that you may provide them with some mode of transport, some carrier, so they could go out and fight. And you said to them, لا أجد ما أحملكم. I don't have anything to give you that can carry you and be a carrier for you. So they've turned and their eyes were flowing with tears in grief because they had nothing to spend. And they were genuinely sincere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised these individuals. And then there was an individual called Yamin bin Amr. So Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Abu Layla and Abdul Rahman ibn Ka'b, they were returning crying when they met a person called Yamin ibn Amr. He asked them, that, why were you crying? So they said that we went to Rasulullah ﷺ, he doesn't have any mode of transport for us to go as well in this battle because it's far and so forth. and they have no means. So Yamin heard this story and he bought a camel for them straight away, and he made arrangements for their provision. So this was the Sahaba helping one another as well, that they wanted to make sure that they assisted each other and they helped each other. So to remove the sadness of one of the companions, or three of the companions, one, he gave some provisions for them, right? So they could also go in battle. And this is the kind of brotherhood and ukhuwa that we need to have as well, right? We need to have within ourselves as well. For all of our brothers and sisters, those that are suffering, those that are not suffering, for all of them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and, you know, understanding to give that, to have that ukhuwa and that brotherhood. So this is, inshallah, we'll carry on with the Battle of Tabuk next week. Just to recap, we spoke about how Islam was spreading throughout the Arabian Peninsula, how different governors were appointed, and how people were, Sahaba were sent to collect the zakat and sadaqah from various tribes. The Banu Tamim refused to pay, and as a result, Rasulullah sent Uyayna ibn Hisn to them, who returned with some captives. A delegation then arrived from Banu Tamim and challenged Rasulullah to compete with them in poetry. In the end, the verses of Surah Hujarat were revealed. And then the Roman Empire, they were raising an army of 40,000, and this was the Battle of Tabuk that was going to take place, that we'll discuss further in next week, inshallah, next time, inshallah, next month. And many companions contributed towards the effort with great generosity, and this was the place where we left off. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand the sacrifice of the Sahaba, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the graves from the gardens of paradise and send blessings and peace upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all of the Sahaba who made these sacrifices so that deen reached us today. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we can also make sacrifices in our own way, whereby individuals can enter the fold of Islam because of us as well. Ameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah.